secret tunnel. Okay,
here we go.
We're rolling. Struggle Street, population house.
It's 11 a.m. What more can you expect from us?
Hello and welcome to another episode of Shipping and Handling. I am your host, Jennifer Udden.
And I'm your co-host, Bridget Smith.
We are recording live from Barry Goldblatt's room at World Fantasy.
Thanks, Barry.
Thank you, Barry, for letting us use your space. So we've been at World Fantasy since
Thursday. It's been so long.
It's been so long. We thought we'd do a sort of live from a con episode.
Mm-hmm.
And later in the episode, we're going to have an interview with Steve Saffel from Titan, who will have a lot of cool things to tell us about being an editor and that side of things. But in the meantime, how's your con been?
It's been a lot of fun. It's
On a scale of 1 to 10, how tired are you?
I'm like 8. I've taken in a lot of naps this week.
Adult naps are sort of the best things ever, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And like hotel room naps, too. It's like,
oh, yeah. The best mattress of all time.
And this pillow that just envelops my head. So I feel, because every time I go to sleep and wake up, I sort of count it as a new day. So I feel like I've been here for like a week and a half.
in a very real sense, that is true. I feel like I've been preparing for this for a week and a half.
Oh, yes.
But so Bridget and I are in the interesting position that we actually are not attending the con.
Yes.
We are sort of con adjacent.
We are bar conning.
Yes. Why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about what that is?
Basically, it means you go sit in the hotel bar and just chat with everyone who's attending the conference. There are in between panels and readings and signings and whatnot, it comes to conventions to be very sociable.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you are in the place where everyone is being sociable, you can be sociable with them.
And if you had listened to Hamilton, I would be able to make a Hamilton reference right now, but
make it for our listeners, Jen.
You want to be in the room where it happens, which is the bar.
Yes. Yeah, in a very real sense, the bar is where the convention happens.
Yeah, and especially this year, I think there were more people bar conning it than ever before.
Yeah. Well, it helps because it's in Saratoga Springs, and so a lot of people were able to come up from New York just to hang out. It was not a ridiculous proposition.
Yeah, it wasn't like an onerous trip.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were all on the train together there's been so
train con.
There's been so many cons this weekend. So there was train con on the way down. And then there was floor con outside the Tremontaine party last night, which is people sitting on the ground. Although apparently train con was broke or floor con was broken up because people realized they were sitting in beer.
Oh no. I feel like that happened multiple times last night.
No. Yeah. Well, I feel
who
like that.
Who was spilling all the beer?
What?
Who was spilling all the beer?
Yeah. I've had a good con. I've had a lot of meetings.
Yeah.
A lot of Have you had set up meetings with editors and stuff?
Oh, yeah. I had a couple of meetings with editors, some that I knew, some that I didn't. Mm-hmm. It's funny because many of the people that I'm meeting with here are also in New York, so it's not
like... Theoretically, could have seen them, yeah.
Anytime, and our friend Miriam, I was sort of like, Miriam, I haven't seen you all weekend, let's hang out. I'm like, not like we don't hang out all the time at home.
Not that we don't see each other like on a bi-weekly basis.
Yes.
Well, I've always wondered, is bi-weekly twice a week or is it every 2 weeks?
It's both.
That makes no...
Right?
No sense.
Yeah.
I object strenuously.
Language is dumb.
That is super dumb. But yeah, I've had a bunch of meetings, been to a bunch of parties.
Yeah. I met a lot of people.
Have you had the thing happen where you meet someone and you're like, your name sounds so familiar, and you realize it's because they're in your query inbox?
No.
It's happened to me twice this weekend.
I have encountered a couple people whose manuscripts I passed on, but
awkward.
They did... I passed on them when they all had offers.
Okay.
So yeah, it was sort of like, go with the grace of God to this other agent.
Yeah,
I'm not going to fight over it.
You're not just like abandoning them to to be a Dickensian orphan wandering unagented in the wild.
No.
And
so we just sort of don't discuss that and move on. It's like, oh, we're at karaoke together. Great. So have you gotten any sort of general impression of what's going on in fantasy from this guy?
Sort of. I would say yes and no. One thing that I've been surprised at is how little people are talking about the awards, because they're giving out awards tonight.
Today, yes.
And in the conversations that I've had, people aren't really talking about who they think will win. I mean, there's a couple of categories where everyone's like, I know who's going to win in this category. But other than that, it hasn't been really like a general. I wonder if everyone's just over awards talk because...
It was a very awards talk. Year
because WorldCon was such a shit show. But I have to say, you know, currently compared to, I mean, it's hard to say because I didn't actually attend the con, but like, given the amount of programming that I've seen, I think that the Worldcon was slightly better programming wise this year.
Yeah.
I mean, certainly you do have to like schlep out somewhere and there's like thousands of people. But programming wise, I think Worldcon might have been better this year.
Yeah. A lot of the panels, as I saw from the programming here, were just very basic sort of 101 level discussions. And that's sort of frustrating because it puts all of the burden on the panelists.
Oh, God.
So they have to be absolutely brilliant and sparkling, or it's a really boring panel.
Yeah.
They don't even get any assistance from, like, interesting questions.
Yeah. There was no, like, Q&As or anything?
There may have been.
Surely there was a Q&A. Even if they didn't plan it, some person would have stood up and raised their hand. It's World Fantasy, for God's sakes.
Yes. But, like, one of the panels that a friend of mine was on was about the quest.
Mm-hmm.
It was sort of like, so that's what we're going to talk about? Okay, great. She said it went very well, so that's good. Yeah, and actually while I was talking to her about it, someone, a nice older gentleman, looked at her from like 3 feet away and was like, you were on the panel, you were very good on the panel. So I guess she was not lying, or she had a plant.
Well, I mean, I shouldn't, you know, make comparisons about the programming, because I think last year I went to one thing and it was a panel my client was on.
Ah.
It was a very late night panel on, I think, horror. And there was this dude on the panel that it was just like, everyone was just, you could see the looks on the panelists' faces just like, get us out of this room.
Oh, God.
It's very late at night. We need to leave.
Like, we could be at the bar.
We could be at the bar. I mean, I've spent most of my time in meetings and, you know, talking to people and doing that kind of thing.
Any sense of trends?
God.
The worst question of all time.
Once again, I have no idea. I mean, I think that people are sort of waiting for there to be another epic fantasy that sort of bubbles
up. Yes, everyone is sort of like,
I think everyone thought it was going to be Brian Staveley, because I love Brian Staveley, but that one, I think, is doing well, but it hasn't been like the explosive, you know, hit that people have thought. But I mean, the thing that I've heard in all my meetings with editors is like, I just have to love it, and I'm just like, you're dear sweet people whom I love, but that does not help me at all.
Nope. I cannot read a manuscript and be like, yes, this one.
It's like, I don't know all of you that well, like, you know, especially when you're meeting for the first time with an editor who is incredibly senior, who you know, has a huge list.
Yes.
Who, you know, you're sort of like, okay, well, how picky do I have to be sending stuff to you, because you have no time. You know, you represent two of the biggest names in epic fantasy in the last 40 years. Yeah, I'm not gonna send you just anything off of my slush pile.
So. That is something that I heard multiple times, though, is people looking for a big, interesting epic fantasy.
Yeah.
I think, and it's one of those things where everyone's sort of like, I guess we'll know it when we see it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the case for everything. Everyone's just sort of like fumbling around in the dark and like seeing what they can find. So that, and I think that I've been hearing less that, you know, sci-fi is doing.
Well, we don't discuss science fiction at World Fantasy. Oh, Jen.
This isn't Fight Club. Like, it's not Fight Club. We're not, you know.
I've just been making jokes about that all weekend. So.
We don't discuss sci-fi at World Fantasy.
So I figured I'd bring our listeners in on my wonderful stream of jokes. I've made great divide.
I've made some really unfortunate puns this weekend. But so did you go to any of the room parties, the parties that they have upstairs?
Yes. Sort of when you are hanging out in the lobby and everyone's like, we're going to a room, and you sort of get swept up along with it. Room parties are generally very hot and very loud.
And crowded.
And very crowded. But it's also a really good way to hang out with people and chat and meet new people as well.
Because you're sort of all in the same
captive
audience.
Sometimes you get trapped in a corner with someone you've never met before.
Sometimes you get trapped in a corner against your will and you're like, please God, send me to freedom. Like, why is this happening to me?
Fortunately, that did not happen to me at all. I feel incredibly lucky.
I've managed to avoid a lot of any sort of like real awkward sauce interactions. Except for that one guy last night.
Yeah.
Last night we were standing in the bar and apparently there was four or five of us, and we were standing just, you know, talking, and what did he say? It was just like, it was the weirdest interaction I've ever had.
It was basically just like complimenting us as specimens of womanhood or something.
It was bizarre. It was bizarre, and we were just like,
I ran into him again.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
This was a non-traumatic interaction. I was just, like, standing at the door of the Tramontane party, mm-hmm. and he was on his way out. And so I'm in this vintage 1930s velvet dress, and he just stopped me and he's like, I'm sure you've heard this a lot tonight, but I just wanted to tell you that's a terrific dress, and just walked on. I was like, okay. Thanks. I think he just likes giving compliments,
that's, you know,
but is also very weird about the way he gives them.
Yes. I mean, that's, you know, it's not a bad impulse to have to tell someone, you know,
true.
You look nice today, but it's actually a podcast called You Look Nice Today. It's actually pretty fun. I've managed to avoid the real awkward sauce.
Yeah.
I feel like WorldCon has maybe a little bit more of that because it's a little bit of a wider swathe. Because a lot of the stuff that happens at World Fantasy is professional.
Yeah.
You know, it's publishing people who are coming together to to top chop. I mean, the halcyon olden days of World Fantasy was where all the contracts would get signed in the bar. People made offers and, you know, closed deals and stuff. You know.
If only.
Someday. Yeah, what else do I know? I think the cool thing that I've been enjoying hearing more about this weekend is Cereal Box, which,
yeah,
I mean, full disclosure, I have a client in it, but, you know, it's kind of a cool concept. Basically, it is the HBO of serialized short fiction.
Mm-hmm.
So each sort of, they have a bunch of different quote-unquote shows. I don't know why I always do air quotes when I'm doing this, like no one can see me.
It changes the inflection of your voice, Jen. It's the sarcastic tildes of the internet.
Sarcasm tildes. Although I have been using the shrug emoticon. It's like this incredibly elaborate sort of like dashes and like lines.
I have no idea how to construct it.
I copy paste it from the internet. I'm like, how do you type a shrug emoticon? I just copy paste.
I swear half of them you need to use like elaborate key combinations.
Well, there's one of them that looks like little fists. Like, no, I'm going to fight you. I'm just like, how do you do that? It's probably Japanese. They know how to do everything. But so it's a serialized short fiction thing, but it's really cool because I feel like a lot of that kind of thing that I've seen before is just like, oh, well, I've done one. Now I'm going to pass it off.
Yeah.
And there's no kind of cohesive, there's no writer's room. But for this, there is like a real writer's room like there would be in TV.
Yeah.
So we went to a party last night that they held for one of the ones that's launching soon.
Launched last week.
Oh, yeah. Launched last week. That's set in the world of the Swords Point novels with a bunch of linked stories. It's like a prequel, I think, to Swords Point.
Yes. 15 years before Swords Point by Ellen Kushner.
Also our friend, full disclosure.
Yes.
Yeah. Merle Lafferty is involved in Book Burners, the first one that came out, which is amazing, that Max Gladstone was in charge of.
I haven't actually read any of them yet, mostly because they don't, I want to, they're doing this big thing where it's like, there's an app, and so you can sign up and they can, and like download it and whatnot, but it feels to me like it's designed for the modern mobile experience, and what I would really like to do is have the app downloaded onto my phone and read it on the subway on the way into work.
But they don't have an Android app?
They don't have an Android app.
That's a key thing, yeah. So hopefully they'll get that,
working on it, yeah. This happens a lot with companies who are like, we have an app. And I'm like, yes, but it's only an iPhone app.
You only have like half an app.
Yeah.
Half an app.
I don't know how fundamentally different they like the design and construction.
I'm sure it's pretty different. I mean,
I think also Android is slower to approve.
So yeah, so that's an exciting thing.
Yeah, it is interesting to see, because Tor.com is also doing
novellas.
Novellas, but also serialized novels.
Yeah.
If anyone sells them something that they wouldn't have sold to Tor. So it is interesting to see there's a big push for a resurgence of short fiction recently, which is very interesting.
You know what else has a short fiction arm? Like a genre sort? Vice. Vice has a website. I forget what it's called, but they're like, I mean, and it was one of those things that they do. They're like, we just don't think that there's, you know, anyone really doing this. So, we have now been joined by today's guest. In-house, we have Steve Saffel from Titan Books. So, welcome.
Hello there.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I just ran here from a panel, and it's been a busy day already. I think I'm even awake.
I sort of didn't really feel awake until about 10:30, so I definitely feel you. But, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. I know you and I have had meetings this weekend, but why don't you tell us a little bit about Titan Books and what you do there?
Well, Titan Books has been around for about 30 years. It, for many years, was a reprint house for graphic novels and fiction and nonfiction from the United States.
Mm-hmm.
It's located in Britain. Our base is actually in Southwark, right near the Tate Modern.
Oh, nice.
And today we have 5 divisions. It's really been built up over the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
We have the books division, and the books division has illustrated books and fiction,
mm-hmm.
where we started out predominantly with tie-in fiction for things like game-related projects, like Star Wars, Star Trek, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Today, we do a lot of tie-in fiction still. I personally work on Alien, Predator, Alien versus Predator, Flash, Gotham, Arrow, Mass Effect, Dishonored. I think those are the ones I can think of right off the top of my head.
That's quite enough to be going on with.
But we also do a lot of original fiction as well. Right now, I've just had a new book out that was Michelle Ballanger doing an urban fantasy that's really wonderful called The Conspiracy of Angels.
Yeah, you were telling me a little bit about this yesterday. It sounds really cool.
Oh, it's extraordinary. The whole idea is a fellow named Zach wakes up on the shores of Lake Erie. He's soaking wet in the middle of winter, lost a boot, wearing a leather jacket, no idea how he got there, and no idea who he is. And he ends up going into Cleveland, where he goes to a place called Club Heaven, and he discovers, slowly but surely, that there was this thing called the Blood Wars. And in the Blood Wars, the angels, the various tribes of angels, ended up trapped on Earth.
Mm.
And he finds out, slowly but surely, that he's Anakim.
Mm-hmm.
The people who run Club Heaven are Nephilim.
Mm-hmm.
And Michelle, because she has a huge grounding in the actual paranormal.
Mm-hmm.
She appeared on Paranormal State as a psychic, which was a reality show.
Mm-hmm.
She has written things like The Dictionary of Demons. She's written on the paranormal. Her books are used by Laurel K. Hamilton as reference.
As reference.
Cool.
That would be so cool. It's like, I'm sorry, people just use me for reference for these cool books. Just
I'm and, the expert.
Oh, and she is, and it's amazing stuff. But she's incorporating this into The Conspiracy of Angels, which is an extraordinary mystery. It's an urban fantasy, but it's also got this huge scope behind it that slowly unfolds as Zach figures out who the hell he is.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great book. I'm really enjoying it.
And that's the first in a series, right?
It's the first in a series. As a matter of fact, I mean, we've got 3 planned currently, mm-hmm. but I would like to be working with Michelle on these for many, many years to come because they're just that good.
It's nice. It's great when you have a world that you feel like you could just go forever in. I feel that way about the James S.A. Corey books, the Leviathan Wakes. I feel like any direction you go in that world, there's a story there.
Mm-hmm.
I hope they keep doing a book a year of those forever.
Well, here's the great thing. And going back to Titan, another division is our comics and graphics novels division,
mm-hmm.
and in there we're doing things like Doctor Who. We're the Doctor mm-hmm. Who publisher, but we're also experimenting. Oh, and we just started Assassin's Creed.
Oh, cool.
Over there.
Okay. Nice.
Really beautiful comics. Excuse me. But we also are doing things like we're going to have new Lost Fleet graphic novels written by Jack Campbell.
Oh, wow.
And they will be stories that you don't see elsewhere.
Mm.
So this is the kind of thing where we're going to be able to do new fiction in a world because we've published the Lost Fleet novels mm-hmm. in Britain.
Mm-hmm.
But these will publish worldwide as comics and graphic novels.
Nice.
So this is where 2 divisions start to work together and, mm-hmm. and work together very nicely. And then we have a magazines division. We have a merch division, merchandise, where we do things like the little plastic figures that we call Titans.
Mm-hmm.
They're basically urban vinyl.
Mm-hmm.
And we do those for Doctor Who. We do them for Yellow Submarine. We do them for Breaking Bad. We do them for, what else, Ghostbusters.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do those things as well as shirts and mugs and things of that sort. And then we have a retail division. In the UK, we own 9 stores, including a 10,000 square foot store in London that is the Forbidden Planet Superstore, which we own.
And that's where Emma Newman had the launch for Planetfall last week.
But the beauty of this is that we can leverage what we do across all of the divisions.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, I'm very experienced now and have been for many years, but I was telling somebody this morning, I can sell a book to a fan.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can literally stand across the table from a fan at San Diego Comic-Con or New York Comic-Con, and I can basically say, this is this book. This is why you really need to read
mm-hmm.
it. So I know what it's like not only to make a book, but to hand it to someone and make them give me a president in return for it.
It's the exchange of presidents is always really nice.
And I think there are too few editors, in a way, who have had this luck to have this experience, because it really tells me exactly what does and doesn't work.
Right. Mm. What people are interested in, what people are actually going to buy.
Yeah. And the other thing that we do, and the reason that this works really well at Titan, is we're very good at branding. Mm-hmm. And the reason I say that is that if I'm branding Mass Effect or Alien or The Flash or something like that, I'm working with the like massive global branding. Well, I have Tim Leben just started a trilogy for me that is a crossover between Predator, Alien, and Alien versus Predator. And it's called Predator Incursion, Alien Invasion, Alien versus Predator Armageddon. And it's a building story that is probably the largest story ever told in the Alien and Predator universe.
Awesome. I love those. Those are my favorite movies. So.
And this one is incredible. It starts basically with Predator ships flowing into human space, and we immediately retaliate because we're like, you know, what the hell? We're getting invaded. And then we go aboard one of these Predator ships, and we find a dead Predator who's been dismembered so he can't commit suicide, surrounded by dead aliens.
Oh, shit.
And there's an android stapled to the wall.
Oh, my gosh.
And every alien has tattooed on its carapace the name Patton, as in George Patton, the name Patton.
Yeah.
We discover that Patton is the name of the android who is the control device for the weaponized aliens.
Ah, that's so cool. And so that's the first book?
That's
in
the first book. Oh, and wow. It turns out that the Predators are not invading. They are running. And so this trilogy is the ultimate, the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, at the same time, I tell people, okay, now you've got Tim Leben, who's doing the Rage War. It's a huge thing. It's a wonderful thing. Well, now look out for Relics, which is his trilogy about a dark underbelly black market in arcane objects. But it's not like buying amulets and knives and things like that. What this is they're buying like the skull of a fairy, and they would grind up the skull of a fairy the way you would grind up the horn of a rhinoceros. Mm-hmm. Except that they're also, well, there's a great scene I'm not going to tell you about that's really hideous.
No spoilers.
But there is the fact that these people will also buy a living fairy and basically sell it off one piece at a time, carving it up while it's still alive.
That's so gnarly, oh my God.
And so now what we've got is this other brand, which is, well, two other brands, Relics and Tim Leben. Mm. And the beauty of that is that we want to make this Tim's Rage War.
Yeah, and you want it to both feed into
everything. He can do these big stories. He can tell these really visceral things. He can make these things come to life in a really like profound way, and now he's going to do it with his stuff as well as with the 20th Century Fox stuff. And I think that's where the kind of thing that Titan does works really well, because we're giving stories that will have legs.
Yeah.
And so Conspiracy of Angels, the Shadow Side series will go on. We will have these things happening. And you know, Lois Gresh doing Cthulhu versus Holmes, you know, things like that.
Well, speaking of Holmes, you had a very interesting and very cool project recently, which is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's Mycroft Holmes novel.
Yes.
Which is so cool.
This was
unexpected.
But it was awesome.
Yeah.
It was unexpected by me as well. Kareem's manager sent us the samples and sent us the outline, and I thought that this thing by Kareem and Anna Waterhouse read really well. And I'm thinking, okay, I did not realize that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar could do that.
Well, I knew that I was very familiar with his nonfiction writing. I've read a lot of his columns. He's, you know, a hilarious actor, hilariously enough. He was on a couple of episodes of New Girl, where he played a guy who'd sort of been trapped in this radio station and trying to get out. But so I knew that he was a nonfiction writer, but this seems to be a very cool new side of his writing.
He's a huge Holmesian. And so what he came up with was an idea that was, let's tell the story of Mycroft Holmes early in his career, before he becomes the reclusive man who runs the British government from behind the scenes, who also like created the Diogenes Club with the one rule that you can't speak in the entire club. You have to go in and be quiet.
What happened to make that a thing that he wanted?
Well, and this is actually...
That sounds great.
Well, and this is a great story because it basically tells how he became that. And the nice thing is Kareem is very good friends with Leslie Klinger, who wrote the annotated Sherlock Holmes.
Who we represent, actually.
Oh, very good. Very good. Because Les is seeing to it that there's veracity to this story for Holmes fans. And Kareem, actually, during the writing of this, we were working on it. We have a really kick-ass beginning. He came up with an idea for an end that absolutely cements this into Holmes canon. It absolutely works. And so when somebody reads this, they're going to be like, oh, I get it. But this is basically Mycroft, fresh out of Cambridge, as a assistant to the Secretary of State of War. And so it begins his career, and then it launches him into this story in Trinidad. And the story in Trinidad is partly driven by the fact that Kareem is from Trinidad.
Okay,
and
cool.
And he knows his history. So he knows his homes, he knows his history, and he put the two things together.
That's so cool.
Very cool.
That's such an interesting I mean, I'm a big Sherlock Holmes fan. I wrote part of my thesis on Sherlock Holmes, so this is... I really love the recent research, sort of resurgence, you know, with all the various shows and everything.
And with it coming into public domain.
Coming into public domain is also great. So it's been really cool to see all these new voices take on these sort of... Because there can be a sense that the Sherlock Holmes stuff can be a little stuffy. You know, I feel like the Jeremy Brett movies, which were great, but there's people who are like, this is the way it is. Like, this is the way it's going to be.
Well, Kareem's favorite Holmes is Jeremy Brett,
well, cause
without
he's
a doubt.
He's wonderful, but it's cool to have, you know, different voices that aren't, you know, Stephen Moffat doing you know, the Holmes canon and, you know, inventing backstory. And
we do the elementary novels, and those are written by Adam Christopher.
Yes, also.
And then Adam is also doing for me the Dishonored novels. As a matter of fact, we talked last night, and the one thing about Adam is that you tell him, no, you can't do anything more because you really have so much that you're doing right now. Adam loves everything. He'd be like, I'll write that. And he'd do a great job at it.
He is really amazing at the tying stuff. I mean, I really love the Machine Awakes and the one that just came out from Tor.
I can picture the cover.
Made to Kill.
Beautiful cover.
Absolutely. I was trying to reconstruct the words on the cover.
The robot noir detective story.
You have to know that Irene Gallo was the one who did the design on that, although the execution is brilliant. Yeah. It was just a fabulous cover. And happily, we publish Adam's stuff in the UK. But we publish the elementary and Dishonored novels worldwide, and so getting to work with him is just such a delight. There's just so much that can be done in the whole Holmesian world, and I think that by the way, get down before the dealer's room closes, because Larry Smith has Mycroft Holmes there.
Oh, good. Because I was tweeting with someone last night, they were saying the dealer's room seems really empty, and I said, well, I'm not allowed to go into the dealer's room because I don't have a pass, but apparently they're not really caring about that, so I think I am going to nip down after this and go check it out, because
Larry has that there, and people who read this are like, really? So it is, it's a surprise.
Well, before we have to sort of, you know, wrap things up, you know, what's your favorite part about getting to, you know, work on both the, you know, non-tie-in side of things and the tie-in side of things? Like, what's your favorite part?
All of it is the same favorite part. I love working with writers. I love working with writers. Michelle had for Conspiracy of Angels, she gave me the highest compliment I've ever had, which was that there was, I'm a very hard editor in that I do a lot, and I don't like to be vague. So I like to say to somebody, okay, in this place, I think you need text like this. And of course, particularly with an original, it's up to the writer. It's their book. Well, in this case, Michelle had some stuff that she had taken out, and she said, you put back in word for word what was there before. and that was the highest compliment I'd ever had, because it was like, oh my God, I really got into the head of this writer. We really worked together. And I loved that. And that's why Dana Fredstee, who did Plaguetown for me, actually named me her DEO, which I am now named that by several of my writers, including Michelle. I am their dark editorial overlord.
And do you have that on a business card?
Yeah, I do indeed.
Yes.
It says DEO. And I didn't want to be too overt, so I just put DEO.
Right.
But
it's like CEO, but...
but darker.
Yes.
But darker. If that is possible.
And it's really fun because, you know, with Dana, It was because we put so much intense work on every page. Mm-hmm. And it was also because I forced her to write outlines. And she hates outlines. And I make sure she has outlines.
Yes. One of my clients, she's just finishing up her option book, you know, and so she had to write a detailed outline in the first three chapters to give to the editor for the option. She's like, wow, it went so much smoother when I knew what the story was doing. Like, funny how that works.
Yes. And it's also funny how it works when they don't have an outline and they get to the end of the novel and go, I don't know what to do. Whereas if we've worked together well, they know what to do.
Yep.
Well, the last thing that we always do at the end of an episode is we ask what people are reading right now. So are you reading anything right now, or do you just not have time to...
At the moment, I'm reading submissions. Mm-hmm. I've got to work on a submission. I got a really great military science fiction submission that I've got to get an answer to the agent. Because agents do sometimes hate me because I don't have time to read. But right now I'm reading the Dishonored novel by Adam Christopher that we're going to be working on. And I'm afraid at the moment that's really what I have time to do.
That's fair. That's fair.
I just picked up two books by Rio Ewers because having got to know Rio, I really wanted to read those. Mm-hmm. And I just picked up the new Lee Modisette. Novel because he did a new science fiction that's NASA based, and knowing Lee and loving space travel, I just felt like I had to have that. And of course I just picked up the David Drake collection that was done here because we just are starting to work with David in the UK, and you know, a lot of it right now is of people who I know, love, and admire.
Cool.
Nice.
How about you, Bridget?
Well, I am currently reading Monstrous Affections, which is a collection of beastly love stories, is I believe what they were calling it, edited by Kelly Link and Gavin J. Grant. And so it's sort of a YA collection. It's got some really fantastic stories in there. One of my favorites was by Sarah Reese Brennan, which is this, like, 60-page story. She was apparently supposed to write a 25-page story and just kept going
on. Just kept going, you know, as one does.
But
as one does.
As she usually is, it's funny and warm and smart and also very compelling. I figured this was a good choice because I didn't think I was going to finish it before World Fantasy, and I knew I was not going to have any time to read here. I actually brought The Fifth Season by N.K. Jemisin, which... Jen has been bugging me to read for a long time.
Yes. this is going to be my Sorcery in Cecilia for you.
I packed it. I have it with me. I just haven't had a chance to read it. I might try to break into it on the train back.
Yeah.
Well, I got to say, having now worked a bit with Nora, the amount of attention to detail, to culture, to character, to philosophy that she puts into... even just fashioning the Mass Effect novel is so incredible that she's got to be one of the most intense, and I say that in a good way, writers that we're going to find on the market right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's amazing. Well, I am reading, to nobody's surprise probably, a book about World War I called The War That Ended Peace by Margaret MacMillan. So it's, you know, one of a long string of books about...
Like, are you going to run out of books?
I just bought another one at the bookstore that's in Saratoga Springs. So
bringing one home.
Alrighty. Well, I think that is all the time that we have today. But thank you so much, Steve, for being on the podcast.
You.
And
thank
hopefully
you
we can have you back.
Me. Oh my gosh,
and
I love this.
Those books sound amazing, and we'll put links in the post so that if you want to pick them up, you can pre-order them. And everyone, have a great week.
Can I add one thing?
Oh yes, yeah, sure.
Absolutely.
If you find that you want to get a book and you go to your local bookstore and they don't have it, ask them to order it. Follow up, support these writers. They deserve it.
Yes.
Support your local bookstore. Get them to order it. Give them the money because we want bookstores and we want authors to continue. And everybody who's listening here are part of making that happen.
Yes.
Oh, yeah,
well said. Well, on that note, happy reading. Bye.